Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. As we continue to look at some of the Psalms in this time before the beginning of Advent, we turn to look at Psalm 100, a psalm of celebration and praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So as I mentioned last week, in the Book of Psalms there are lots of mini collections. And Psalm 100 is the concluding psalm of a mini collection which includes Psalms 93 to 100. And they focus on the universal reign of God, with a strong note of celebratory praise. Psalm 100 is a community psalm, which means it is a psalm that was used in worship by the people of Israel. This mini collection of the Lord Reigns psalms are addressed to the nations at large. In verse 1, the psalmist calls for all the earth to shout for joy to the Lord. Everyone is called to worship the Lord with gladness. But while the whole earth is called to worship the Lord, it is only the people of Israel that hear and respond to the call to worship. That is why in verse 3 we are reminded that God made us. We are his people. It is very deliberately written in plural form to refer not just to one person, but the whole Israelite community. And so this psalm, as do the others in the collection, has a twofold theme. Israel is reminded that God reigns, despite all appearances to the contrary. And they are reminded of their missional responsibility. The whole earth needs to know that God reigns. And so there is this command to shout for joy to the Lord, to enter his gates with thanksgiving. This is a joyful psalm about praising God and giving him glory. It is all about gratitude, thanksgiving, and joy. But what happens when we don't feel joyful or full of thankfulness? What happens when life is hard but we still need to praise God? While the exact author and date this psalm was written is unknown, most scholars agree that it was likely this was written during the monarchy period, in the reigns of King David or King Solomon, and with some suggesting that this is actually a psalm of David. And this is significant because although Israel had a slightly more stable time under Kings David and Solomon, it certainly wasn't without difficulty or trial. There are many wars with the Philistines and infighting in the royal family. So the people of Israel certainly experienced times of hardship during the time in which this psalm was written, which suggests that they were able to continue to say, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, despite times of difficulty. In times of trial and difficulty, we can struggle to understand how a good God allows suffering, pain, or death. How an all-powerful God can allow seemingly evil people to rule. We struggle to balance our pain with what we know about God as a good, loving, all-powerful God. And if we're honest, sometimes those scales don't balance in favour of God. So how do we praise God in those moments where we don't feel like praising him? Psalm 100 gives us five truths about God that help remind us of how awesome he is and how deserving of praise he is. As we meditate on these truths, this then helps us to bring joy to our hearts and turn our gloom into praising. The first truth reminds us that the Lord is God. The psalmist says, know that the Lord is God. All too often we live like we are the gods. We might not explicitly say to ourselves, I am a god, but we live as if we are in control, as if we have everything figured out, or as if everything is dependent on us. Let me ask, raise your hand if you have ever thought to yourself something like, I've made a plan and everything needs to run according to my plan. Keep your hand raised as I ask the next question. Raise your hand if you have ever thought to yourself, I know what I'm going to do in my life. I've got the next 5 years or so all planned out. And again, keep your hand raised. And the last question, have you ever thought, I need to do this because if I don't, it wouldn't get done, or it will be done wrong and that would be a disaster. Now, if I'm right, every hand should be raised, as all of us have probably said or thought at least one of those things, or more probably more than one. You can put your hand down now. We all keep falling into the trap of living as if we are gods of our lives and even the lives of others. We want people to bow down to our expectations of and plans of how things should happen. And we often get frustrated when it doesn't happen that way. And then strangely enough, we often wonder why we are so stressed and anxiety ridden. And acknowledging that God is God and that we are not releases the pressure from us. It takes the burdens from our shoulders. It is no longer up to us to know the way and make all the plans. It is no longer dependent on all our energy and effort to make everything right. When we accept that the Lord is God, we acknowledge that whatever we are going through is in His control, and we learn to trust Him to guide us through the chaos. Whatever you are struggling with at the moment, give it to God and let Him take control. Listen to Him as He speaks to you to tell you that the burden you are carrying is not yours to carry, and you can put it down in His hands. This is a message we will have to keep reminding ourselves of, because we find it so easy to try and take God's place and take control of things in life. But the wonderful thing is that no matter how many times it happens, every time we can come back to God and say, Lord, teach me to give you control and trust you. And each time He takes that burden from our shoulders. It may still be something that we have to face, but we learn that we are not in control and have to trust God. We can find relief in Him. So the first truth that we have in that psalm is, know that the Lord is God and not us. And the second truth is that God made us and He knows us. It is He who made us and we are His, says the psalmist. This causes us to remember our status as creation, not creator, which again reminds us that we're not ultimately in control. We have a Father in heaven who made us and who wants the best for us. So we need to ask ourselves whether we will trust our Father, our creator. Remembering that God is our creator also reminds us that He knows us. He knows the very number of hairs on our heads. This means we have a God who knows us even better than we know ourselves. And even more than that, we know we have a God who not just knows about us, but who empathizes with us. Jesus came and lived a human life, suffered human trials and difficulties, felt the lure of human temptations. God doesn't just know about us, He knows what it is to be us. And so we can truly recognize that He understands our experiences and knows our struggles. This for me is one of a key reason that makes me want to worship God in the midst of the hardest times. Have you ever tried to talk about painful things to someone who didn't understand or didn't care to even try? It's really demoralizing, and you feel like you're just, there's no point talking to them because they don't understand. Likewise, if I thought I was praising a God who was distant and aloof, one who couldn't understand my experience, I would struggle to come to God in times of difficulty. But I know I have a God who understands, who knows me, knows the things I experience and how I am coping, or not, with it. And so I feel I can talk to him about anything and know that he doesn't think any of my thoughts or feelings are silly or unimportant. As the psalmist reminds us, he made us and we are his. We are his, and so he cares about us and he understands us. The third statement that the psalmist makes is, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Shepherds watch over their sheep because the sheep are valuable. Sheep were valuable for their wool, skins, for food, and also for use as sacrifices. In the time of this psalm, shepherds were essential, if not particularly well liked, and they guarded their flocks day and night with constant vigilance. They were dedicated to watching over the sheep and protecting them from predators, thieves, or even themselves, as sheep are prone to wandering off. We, like sheep, need protecting from Satan, from others, and even from ourselves. And we have a God who continually watches over us. Sometimes we forget how closely and how carefully God watches over us. We forget that God is always with us. And when we forget this, it's easy to feel alone and abandoned. In those hard times, it's easy to feel that God is far away. But please be reassured that even when you don't feel close to God, he is close to you. He holds you in his loving arms, and he cares for and protects you. When we stop and realise that there's someone watching over us, holding us tight, it takes away that loneliness as we recognise we are never alone or forsaken. Another key role of the shepherd is to be a guide to fresh feeding grounds and safe shelter. God, as our good shepherd, guides and leads us, even through the darkest of valleys. As Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If you're feeling lost or off track, continue to look to God and ask him to guide you. He will lead you even when things are tough. He is our good shepherd. So often when we feel things have gone wrong, we feel like it's all up to us to fix it and make it right. But God is there. He is in control. He will be with you, aiding you, guiding you to the right paths. If only we listen and pay attention to him as he speaks to us. The fourth statement the psalmist makes is, for the Lord is good. If I asked you right now, is God good? I would probably be confident that I'd hear, yes, God is good, because we're in this kind of religious setting and we think that we have to give what we think of as the right answer. But I wonder, if I came and asked in a funeral home and asked that question after someone has just experienced a personal tragedy and were in the deep throes of depression, would they be able to say, yes, God is good? I wonder, is God less good when we experience tragedy and God didn't stop it? Is God less good when we see the horrors of war and violence and pain playing out every day in our news broadcasts? Is God less good if he doesn't give you the answers you want to the prayer you have prayed faithfully for years? Or let me ask it another way. Is it possible to say that God is good, even in the midst of tragedy and disappointment? I will be honest and tell you that I don't have all the answers. I don't know why God allows bad things to happen to good people. I don't know why some prayers seem to go unanswered. I don't know the answer to many of life's most painful questions. I have some possible answers to some of these questions that help me try to make sense of things for myself, but I certainly don't pretend to understand the mind of God and know exactly why things happen as they do. But most importantly, I do know one thing. I do know that God is good. I know he is good because of centuries of evidence of his goodness, as we find in his word. I know he is good through the testimonies of many faithful people throughout history. I also know he is good through my own personal experience. There are many reasons I can give for why I know that God is good. But one of the most important reasons that I know he is good is because Jesus died in my place so that I could have a loving relationship with God. God did not have to take my place. He could have chosen to be distant and aloof, uncaring that we were going astray. But instead, he laid aside his majesty, came to earth as a vulnerable baby, born in low circumstances to the shame of scandal. He faced scorn and derision, and then abuse and finally crucifixion for our sakes. He experienced being cut off from God the Father so that we didn't have to. He did all of this because he loves us. And so I can say with certainty in my heart that God is good, even when we face difficulty. And then the final statement is, his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Human love and faithfulness is fleeting and conditional, but God's love endures forever. He is faithful without limit. I'm reminded of the passage in Romans 8:37-39, which gives such wonderful affirmation of the endless love of God. Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God loves us so much and his love is so eternal that not even death or demons nor any power in all the universe could separate us from that love. How awesome is that? When I'm feeling low and unable to praise God because I don't have that sense of gratitude in my heart, coming back to the truth of God's endless love for me causes my heart to leap for joy. If someone tells us they love us, it brings joy to our faces. Whether it's a child that says to their parent, or a husband to a wife, or a person to their best mate. When we hear this phrase, "I love you," from someone who matters to us, it cannot help but bring a smile to us. So how much more joy does it bring to us when we hear God say to us, "I love you"? When you are feeling low, read one of the many, many passages in God's word that speaks of God's love for us, because it reminds us of just how awesome God is, how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. our emotions may not always want us to praise God. We may at times not feel very thankful. But when we remember these five truths, that the Lord is God, that he made us and he knows us, that we are that he is the shepherd and we are his sheep, that the Lord is good and that his love endures forever. When we remember these things, it helps bring joy to our hearts and helps us to praise God as he deserves. So the next time you are struggling to praise God, reread the psalm and remember the wonderful truths about who God is and what he does for us, and let it bring you joy and an attitude of gratitude.